gentlemen, Elaine Stritch at liberty.
Here's to the ladies who lunch inside. This week on Broadway Baby, the podcast taking one casual theater goer to full out fangirl, we watched Elaine Stritch at liberty. I'm here with my co-host. Oh, I'm Kimberly. I forgot to introduce myself.
Nothing makes sense anymore.
Here we are. I spent too much time with myself that I know who I am. I'm your host, Kimberly Schmidt, here with my husband, Jay Schmidt.
Hi! Why do you always hesitate before
Because I expect you to introduce yourself, and you never do.
Oh, well, see, I am. I'm waiting for you to say my name so I can,
You'll say your own name.
Jay Schmidt.
And our baby, Alex Pacella.
Hey.
You say his name? No, now's not the time to really think about it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Alex, how are you?
I'm okay. How about you guys?
We're all right. Yeah. Has baby met any worlds that you're allowed to see?
Baby's met some worlds. Baby stumbled on a public service announcement from the 80s where the cats from Cats tell you not to smoke.
But there
Have
are
you seen this?
Them smoking on the winter garden roof.
That was exactly my first thought. I was like, you hypocrites. You angelical hypocrites.
In the 80s, they smoked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They got, they got a day, 2 hours of cat makeup. Yeah, I'm smoking. Like, you know, like, it's, you can't just show up and just put on a coat and be the character. You've got wig and makeup. Yeah. Light one up,
yeah.
Johnny.
Yeah. Light one up, Rum Tum Tugger. Just do it. And then I found another one because it was a. I think there might be more, but I only saw two. Or one where they tell you not to drive recklessly.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's the one that's don't smoke, yeah. And then there's the one that says. They're like, I'll send it to you guys and maybe tag it in the episode. I think it was like, Jellicles can and Jellicles do, but you know what Jellicles don't do? Drink and drive.
Oh, okay.
Drive recklessly. And both of those PSAs end with the smoking one go, because a cat has 9 lives, but you only have 1. You think there's some guy watching those videos going, well, I was going to smoke, but you know what? The cats don't approve. Marlboros.
Kids, I guess.
There's probably like 3 people out there that it changed. Like, you know what I mean? Like 3. Total.
Yeah. I'm fairly certain at least some of those cats were on coke. So, judge not lest ye be.
Again, it was the 80s.
Yep.
People from like every like career path in the 80s were like, oh man, you know, like cattle auctioneering. Yeah, we were all doing a lot of blow. It's like it was the 80s. I'm like, I guess.
Oh,
I was like, I don't think it's like career specific. I think it was just the decade.
Yeah, you don't want to know what we were snorting to get the Hubble telescope up there.
Yeah, that was just the 80s.
Yeah. Iggy Pop would weep if he knew what we were doing.
Did we see any new worlds? Oh, Kimberly,
we watched The Muppets.
We watched The Muppets.
And The Descendants.
Yeah, for Kimberly's Broadway Sid movie episode, she watched it, but I happened to be in the line of fire of the 3 Descendants movies, the Disney ones, where they're like the children of the villains.
What?
Like a villain.
They're technically musicals, and they're kind of a... The first one is actually kind of fun.
And the second two are not.
And the second two are a gigantic bummer.
Oh, so they're the Iron Man movies?
Yeah, kind of. It's funny how the Disney movies, the Disney Channel originals, the first ones, do really well and are very successful. But then, like, when the sequels come out, it's clear that they have a third of the budget, which I don't understand.
Yeah, there's, like, 2 good Disney animated sequels. One of them is Simba's Pride, and I think there might be 1 other good one out there, but the rest are just always terrible.
Oh, this is a Disney Channel original movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's the good stuff.
Yeah.
So that's when the second movie is like, we found this soundstage. It was buried.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do with it. I think it's
okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was tough.
more world. I watched Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, just to keep it Weber.
Which one?
The Donny Osmond movie.
Yeah. Not a bad picture.
Yeah, it's really silly, but honestly, yeah. I'd never heard one lick of the music before. I had a really good time.
It's good music.
Yeah, I love the conceit that, you know, everything. First of all, the coat doesn't factor into the plot as much as I thought it was gonna.
Not at all.
It's mostly Jimmy Joseph and his amazing psychic abilities, pretty much. But I was watching it, and Donny Osmond is just, I'm begrudgingly becoming a big fan of his. I'm not thrilled about it. I'm like, God damn it, he's awesome.
So move on.
Yeah. And I was watching it, and like I realized very quickly, oh, the conceit is that every song is a different genre. And usually it worked pretty well. One or two of them were duds, but like it's a short, brisk show. So like if you don't like one song, the next one's coming very quickly. So it's that kind of show. There's something for everyone to enjoy sonically.
And it has the one thing that I think every musical should be legally bound to have.
A mega mix.
I feel like every show should be forced to have one of those. Who doesn't love Mega Mix?
I love Mega.
At the very end, when they just like go through all the songs, it's like, yeah. Yes, this is very good.
Yeah, and it was just really, really, it was a good time. And I don't know why. I don't know Andrew Lloyd Webber as much as theater nerds do, obviously. But so far, even the like Cats is my least favorite show of his, and I still kind of like it. Like, Jay, it's my meme, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like, I know it's bad, but I like it, you know. And like, I have Superstar's amazing. Joseph, I quite enjoyed, and I know people who are like, oh, Superstar's the only good Weber show. Everything else is trash. I'm like, I'm pretty happy so far. I haven't gotten to Starlight Express.
Yeah,
like I love Evita, and maybe I just listen to it differently than some people do. I don't know, but
yeah, I think that's a large part of the success of Hello, Dolly. Is that it's not a very good show, just everyone likes it. People like it, regardless of the fact it's not very good. I don't like it. I don't think it's a very good show.
I don't either, but I was curious how you're going to relate it to Andrew Lloyd Webber.
No. Yeah.
I was like, okay.
People just like that show, so they go.
Andrew Lloyd Webber is fine when he's writing a rock kind of score.
School of Rock was really good.
Yeah. It's as soon as he's just like, let's see if I can write an opera.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't listened to Phantom yet. I listened to like half of it, and I was like, I'm not 100% feeling this.
But have you listened to School of Rock?
No.
It's really good. It's really good.
Oh, yeah? That was Brightman?
Yeah. But it was Andrew Lloyd Webber, and I was like, I don't know if he can pull this off, and he totally did.
And the guy that wrote Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
That's a very strange bill.
It was a really weird combo.
Let's
yeah.
get two austere writers to do School of Rock. Okay. Yeah. A Richard Linklater joint. And finally, I did an Instagram live stream Q&A with a fan of the show. Her name is Cassinia. She's in sixth grade. She's very sweet. And she just wanted to go live with me and ask me questions about theater and about the podcast and stuff.
That's nice.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. She said she was a fan of the show, and part of me wonders how many episodes she's listened to, because she goes, okay, next question, Hamilton or Beetlejuice? And I was like, oh, child, do you know who I am? I love Beetlejuice, but how is that a question?
Yeah.
Aw. Yeah.
So we're doing part two after we...
So you just, like, recording. Slammed on a... You just, like, dunked on a sixth grader on Instagram?
Kind of, yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, so that's all the world I met.
Yay. Do we meet anything else?
Not really.
No, it's been a time.
Yeah. At what point are we just going to run out of world to meet? And we're like,
homes?
Yeah, we're just like, well, I did some stuff, and then I realized, oh, that was a dream, so nothing.
Yeah. Shall we do Word of the Week?
Word of the week?
I thought it was pretty apropos, given that they are attempting at the current moment to talk about bootlegs.
Boot?
Okay.
And to not watch them. This is basically my PSA of it is probably very tempting to watch bootlegs right now on YouTube of shows, but I implore you to instead watch the professional filmed version.
I will say this. This is a hot take coming from you.
I don't... do as I say, not as I do.
Well, I'm just saying, in this time of quarantine, I agree. But I don't know if you've necessarily practiced what you preach from up until this point.
Well, not always.
I'm not trying to blow up your spot or nothing.
You are!
No, I agree with you.
I don't watch full... What I'm talking about is a full bootleg.
Okay.
Like, I will sometimes watch, like, a clip of something, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of harmless. It's like 30 seconds on Instagram. But when someone has recorded the entire show, the main thing I can think of is the poor 20 people around them that had to watch that whole show through that person's phone.
Yup.
It must have just been the most annoying night at the theater for like 20 people. And how dare they? Also, it's not very nice to be watching something that someone stole in the current moment while all of those people are out of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And it's distracting and it's illegal.
And the thing is, they really they happen with quite a rate at which I would not have anticipated.
That's more what's happening is that my YouTube has started to be like, people are getting very brazen with them of just being like, this is Mean Girls from this day. And the first comment is like, you might want to change the title before this gets taken down.
Yeah, I saw once a YouTube channel of bootlegs where all the shows just had distracting names, like Something Rotten was called like Scrambled Eggs the Musical or something, and Hamilton was like...
Some of the names
Or Hamilton was like, Orphan Hits It Big or something like that. Like,
yeah, some of the names are very clever, but I just don't... I've also never understood the mindset of, let alone having your phone on in the theater.
Yeah.
So much as taking a picture or filming something.
Yeah. Oh, and Waitress was How to Make Pies, the musical.
How to Make Pies.
It kind of is that a little bit, but...
Oh, yeah. How to Make Emotional Pies.
Yeah, but just to play devil's advocate for a minute, we're living in a world where we can't go see those shows, and could one say that some of these bootlegs are keeping people's interest in the theater afloat during this?
Yeah, much less keeping people sane.
When the shows reopen, will someone who watched a bootleg go see the show?
I don't know.
If I could afford it, I would. But
I think we make an agreement that if you're going to watch a bootleg of a
show, you have to then buy a ticket to that show.
You have to buy a ticket after this all this nonsense is done. I think
full
that's
price.
Full price.
And turn your phone off.
You know, ticket or just, you know, a reasonable ticket service.
It can be a full price in the back.
Yeah. Or you can go through day ticks.
But just watching a bootleg does not support theater, and I think people just need to be aware of that, because sometimes you're tempted to watch a bootleg, especially a show that closed or something you can't see anymore.
Yeah.
But it is weird to be thankful of something that someone did that was very wrong.
Yeah.
So I have such feelings, because I have been the person to, like, tell people to shut their phone off during the show. I have watched people film in front of me, and it just ruins your night.
Yeah.
However, there are a lot of shows now that are trying, because of social media, and they see how big the bootlegs get when they go out, all of six in London, you're allowed to film the mega mix at the end.
Okay.
And then it's on YouTube, and they're like, get your phones out, it'll be fun. However, New York didn't let them.
What?
Everybody was like,
no.
Oh, but the
I know, but it's so fun.
But the filming of the Megamix is such an opportunity for content.
Yeah, but Equity said no.
That's okay.
And so I worked on an off-Broadway show that had the same sort of attitude of like, yeah, get your phones out, have fun, share that you were here. And Equity also said no to that, because they wanted their pre-show announcement to be like, don't bother turning off your phones. And Equity was like, absolutely not.
Well, yeah,
the theater said no, not the unions.
I understand that from a union perspective, because like as a performer, I don't have the ability to control how my image is used in that regard. So.
Oh, it absolutely makes sense. I mean, that's the whole point of bootlegs is you can't. It's copy. Things of it are copywritten. You're stealing someone's image that they are usually paid for.
Yeah, but the Megamix is so fun on YouTube.
Well, we can see all the West End stuff. Another equity rule that changed some of Six that I saw on Instagram is, you know how in London all of the swings have like their one outfit that they wear no matter what queen they are?
Okay.
Like the one of the swings is blue, and no matter what queen she is, she's blue, but in like a different variation. New York was like, no, you have to have your own costume for each character you cover.
Oh. Why?
I don't know.
It was so fun. It was like they were Power Rangers.
So I think they have...
When they form into the giant Henry VIII metal.
Yeah, it was like, you have your ranger outfit, and it doesn't matter, like, what, like, you know, what role you're going in for. It's just like, I don't know, I kind of liked it, because it felt like they were superheroes.
Yeah, but not allowed.
Okay.
I kind of feel about bootlegs the way I feel about every good concert I've been to. Bless you. Every good concert I've been to, which is like, oh man, this was so much fun. I wish they would give you a taped version on the way out that would be totally above board and legal. So, like, listen, with Broadway shows, if it was like, because things are cut out of the album or changed. Like, I would love to have this, like, even if it was just a static shot of, like, you know, a widescreen, see the show, and then, like, do it almost by, and this obviously would be too hard to actually do, but just in my mind, do that kind of thing that's, like they do with the screeners, where it's like, oh, if you copy this, you will get in trouble, but you can have it.
Yeah.
I wish it was like that, but and some, like, rock concerts will do that. They'll be like, oh, we have, I forget what organization it is. There's some website that like catalogs live shows, and they get permission to like record it in the sound mixing board, so it's really good quality. But you know, I wouldn't know how they would do that for Broadway.
Well, every show is filmed for the library on film and tape at the New York Public Library.
Cool.
So if you just want to quote unquote go research a show, you can go watch anything, and it's usually just sort of one static shot in the back.
Yeah, once society's back, I think that might be a new tool for Broadway, baby.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, because there's things I want to see.
I, like, forgot it existed, and then Broadway just started.
Yeah, we went to see Ragtime.
Like, 2 months ago, and I was like, oh, yeah, we can just go do that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. Whoops.
Yeah. It's a, like, high-quality recording of a single night at the theater. And so I say to everyone that's watching Bootlegs, when the library reopens, go and watch the library.
Just invent a research project.
Yeah, it's easy. Say you have a podcast.
Just say you're not. Yeah. you're doctor of shows, and you're working on your doctorate of shows.
The cats from Cats told me they have 9 lives, but I only have 1 chance to see Ragtime.
Yeah.
So
you gotta go.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Bootlegs. It's a hot button topic, but I have seen people talking about it in this time of quarantine, so that's why I thought we could also bring it up. I feel about bootlegs sometimes how I feel about people who videotape fireworks.
They're idiots?
Never gonna be the same as just sitting down and watching the fireworks. Like,
fireworks aren't even that great to begin with. And I know that's a hot take, but I don't think they're that great. But it's just like people who post like videos on Facebook of the fireworks I saw. I'm like, who is this for?
No one. It's not as cool if you're not there.
Yeah, the magic just isn't there.
Yep.
And so, that's my take on bootlegs. But some will trick you into watching them.
Yeah.
Cool. Should we get into it?
Yep.
I wonder if any bootlegs of Elaine Stritch exist.
Probably.
Oh, if she notices that person's getting a fucking earful.
Would believe it.
Like, more than Patti LuPone would give them.
Oh, that is one bootleg that's pretty funny. But it's like a bootleg of someone bootlegging. Just her.
Oh, that's meta.
Yeah, because, like, she started yelling at someone, but, like, someone else was also recording.
Yeah.
I never thought of it like that, but, yeah, that's exactly what was happening.
Because they catch the whole thing.
Huh.
Yeah.
I just listened to it the other day because someone put it on TikTok as like one of those word things.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, it's like the song. And then she stops. It was like, stop taking pictures. So that means that this person was filming and happened to catch that.
Huh.
Mind blown.
Yeah. And someone else was taking like still pictures with the flash, which is what distracted her enough to. Because that's just really being an idiot.
Yeah. That's unacceptable.
So, Alex, how did you like Elaine's Stritch at Liberty?
Did you?
I thought it was
about being at a theater.
Say what?
Jay mostly because I had already realized this, that it's not at the Liberty. Like, it's not at a theater called the Liberty.
I figured that out like 20 minutes in. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Jay goes, where is the Liberty?
Yeah. I thought it was okay. I really, really like her. And I think this show has moments of being transcendently poignant, but I think it very much suffers from one person show syndrome. And it opens up in a way that highlights that. And then as it gets better, I still am noticing those flaws about it as it keeps going. So I feel like if I was reading her autobiography, I'd be riveted. But with this, I was like, I don't know if this fully translates to this format. And I feel bad about that because I really like her and I was glad I got to spend time with her, but I didn't 100%. What?
The second half is way better than the first.
Totally. Like opening with No Business Like Show Business was very cliche and I think a bad choice. And I wonder how much of this is the co-author, like having her do things that just don't fully work for her voice. Cause I was watching some interviews with her afterwards and she's so much crankier and really funny. Like this person from the Times is interviewing her about this one woman show. And they go, so you were a virgin until you were 30. Is that true? And she goes, why the fuck would I make that up? Which made me feel seen because I used to have material about being a late in life virgin. And I lived that moment many times. And then she goes, oh, okay. Why do people think sometimes say you're frightening? She goes, because I'm frightening. What do you want? Like, so I feel like the person, for whatever reason, this product is not bad, but it's not 100% what makes Elaine Stritch really cool to watch. And I don't 100% know why, and I'm not thrilled about that thought, but I wanted to like it more than I actually liked it.
Yeah, I agree. I think
it's had a great time.
Yeah,
But I also, I don't think I watched it in any sort of critiquing the structure of the show. Okay. I was like, Elaine's going to talk to me for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, I was not watching it as a structured piece.
I'm a little of column A and a little of column B in that
I watch stand-up.
She has a lot of, like, amazing stories, but, like, it doesn't really get to the... It gets to the meat of stuff and, like, the heart of things, like, in the third act.
Yeah.
When it's like, I think you could have, like, you could have layered this in the beginning a little bit more.
Yeah.
And also, I think it, like, it doesn't hit as hard as it could in that, like, there are certain things that I think kind of get a little bit glossed over. Like, when she's talking about being in that production where the entire cast was, like, went to the director and was like, hi, she's gotta go. And she's just like, ha, this was so silly. Can you believe this? And I was like, I've been in shows where like everyone hated one person and it was never usually the group's misstep that they didn't like that person. She's like,
yeah.
They didn't like me. I'm like, well, they all had a written note to the director that they were.
Yeah, they brought pen and ink into this.
Like, I was like, I feel like you're not owning up to some shit. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's, because she talked about a lot of her drinking stuff later on, and I was like, I feel like this should have been mentioned earlier.
It was,
yeah.
When she got fired and stuff.
Sure.
I think she was leading up to it, because she didn't want the whole thing to be like, I was a sad alcoholic once.
I'll get to it in Little Loves. I actually really like how she dealt with describing the drinking, because it follows a pattern that you hear from a lot of alcoholics, but that'll be in Little Loves. Yeah, I just it did feel like some things were glossed over, and sometimes things were said really fast, and that was what made it cool. but that I'll get to later as well. But you know, like the they all hated me, and it's kind of implied like because they were all assholes. It's like, well, you have a drinking problem, and you're extremely honest about it. Are you only picking and choosing the things that you want to be honest about, which is your right to do? But in this instance, it's kind of noticeable if something really did happen. Yeah. If they were all just jerks and that's how it played out, then that's not her fault. But, you know, like we were saying, like, oh, this sounds like there's some details missing.
Yeah, but I just thought, but also at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I just like it when she's snarky. So, yeah, like, let's take these bitches to task.
Yes.
Kick me out of the show, screet. Like, it's the thing that I kind of celebrate about her that I'm also kind of like, yeah, but. I don't know.
Yep. Did that moving the chair around break up the flow for you guys? Because it really did for me.
I just assumed that was the moment where she needed to go off stage to look at her lyrics or something.
Well, she kept moving it around on stage.
I think that was like an edit point of like, maybe she would usually leave the stage, get a drink of water, and come back.
Huh. That's weird. Okay.
If you watch, there's another documentary about, I don't think it's about this production. It's later. But there's like a big scene about how she feels really self-conscious about her memory starting to go and that she can't remember her lyrics anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, okay, just take a minute and we'll tell you what they are.
Yeah.
And so I think,
well, also that's probably true, but also sometimes in the middle of a story that is just one take, you can see she's like moving it over here and then she stops the story and then moves. And this is not a cut. I'm like, okay, this sounds like it's base work, but it's not adding anything. And I'm just going, why is that there? And maybe it's for that and just to give it something else to do, but.
Yeah, hopefully. I didn't question much of
that. Yeah, honestly, yeah. I think more so Kimberly than me, but we come from it from a perspective of just like, yeah, I don't, it's just nice to hear her talk. I don't really care.
It was just nice to spend time with her.
It was nice to spend time with her. I have zero bad things to say about that. I really like her.
What was your favorite story?
My favorite story is probably the first time she drinks, because it's one of my little loves with Squirtle. Let's do it now. Because when I've known some alcoholics in my life, and a lot of them describe the moment where they have their first drink is like, yeah, I took a sip of vodka and just the universe made sense. And I never wanted to lose that feeling. And because she's younger, you go, oh, that's kind of sweet. She's drinking her dad's whiskey sour. And then it is really, if you know that person, you know, that kind of a trajectory for people who have an issue with it, you know, that is a sweet moment that is very like portentously bad. Like it's foreshadowing terrible things to come.
Yeah. And it's the
really,
moment,
really hard hitting.
It's the moment you're chasing.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, I like just the converse when she talks about going on stage alone.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, I'm going out sober. It's like, you're going out there alone. Like I was like, oh yeah, that's kind of that it's not a mindset that I understand. Like liquor has never really been an issue for me, but like I've struggled with like other dependencies, but I get that.
Yeah,
but just not in that like direct. Like I hate being on stage inebriated. It's not my.
I didn't realize I was doing anything.
No, I don't. I've drank a little before I've done comedy, and it just makes me talk too loud and too fast. And I'm just like, this isn't helping anyone. And I'm still as nervous as I would have been anyway. That doesn't work for me. So.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't drink before shows.
Only during, because that's the theme of your other show.
Oh yeah, there is that. I was thinking about like performing, but no, I almost exclusively perform drunk these days.
That's the conceit of the show. That's not necessarily.
Yeah.
And it's, everyone knows it's happening.
Exactly.
I'm not like in a play pretending to be sober 3 champagnes in. That's really, that story was insane.
Oh, with the whittling down the bottle so it doesn't pop, that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did no one notice, hey, she gets a bottle of champagne every day from, like, the same seven stars?
No, it was from someone else. She wrote the letter, so it was from someone else every day.
I know, but what I'm saying is, isn't it a coincidence that every day she gets the exact same gift from huge people, and wouldn't you catch wise at, like, hang on, why are they all just sending her the same exact thing? And, you know, I don't know if she repeated any celebrities or whatever, but it felt like, I would have thought that was a little fishy.
That's the nice thing about actors is that they're very rarely paying attention to anyone else but themselves.
Aha!
The only person that would notice is the doorman that puts it in her dressing room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then that makes sense.
But, like, that's some, like, next level.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, this is a funny, kitschy story you're telling, but you had a problem.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that problem was champagne.
Yeah.
Is what really made me laugh.
Well, that was the only way she could sneak it in.
Yeah.
I guess so.
I mean, she said every show had a different drink.
Oh. I'd like to know what they all were.
She lists them.
Oh.
Company was Courvoisier.
Vodka Stingers was one of them.
Oh, that sounds like...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, I think...
Company was Courvoisier Cognac.
Yeah.
Ew.
Which, shouldn't that be the other way around? Shouldn't that be Vodka Stinger?
Yeah.
It seems more on brand in several ways.
I think people were aware of them, so they might be on the lookout.
Oh, okay.
Man, I can't take Cognac. It's too sweet. It's like, oof.
I don't think I've ever really tried.
It's not my favorite.
Yeah, no thank you. Shall we go into Little Love so I can say mine?
Sure.
It's just my favorite part when she explains the piece of Mahler that she thought it was a pie. Mm-hmm. And that when she told Sondheim that story, he just said, Elaine, I have to go to the bathroom. Was my favorite part of the show.
Yeah. One of my little loves is when she talks about Norma Mailer. And not Norma Mailer. I'm thinking Gilmore Girls.
Noel Coward. Stretchy.
Norma Mailer's just here drinking iced tea. Whenever he says stretche, it's just excellent.
Yeah.
One of my little loves is just when she talks about her husband.
Yeah, me too. That's my other one.
And one thing I really
that's my another one too.
Yeah. When she talks about her, you know, it's the funny thing is that her one thing I learned about like doing a little research on Elaine Stritch for this. Her husband was an heir to a his family owns a English muffin company, English Muffins, and so for up until her death, whenever she would like send a gift to someone, it would always be a basket, English muffin basket.
Aww.
Yeah, it was just like a little like nod to her husband, like, oh, here's some English muffins, and I was like, oh, that's nice.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, love is great. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And
then...
Hit me
with those little ones.
Okay, one I already mentioned, and then the other one is the one we already went over, but I'll elaborate. So I love the arc of her alcoholism in this, because like I said, in the beginning, it's kind of cute because she's 13 or whatever. And then it becomes like, yeah, you know, it was a hard drinking business, and it was the 50s and whatever, and you go, oh, okay, I guess... Maybe, like for the first, like, half of the show, I was thinking, okay, does she just really like to drink, or is this a problem? And then, as she keeps going, like, oh, and then I needed it, but it was my profession. It was so, you know, everyone needs a shot of courage, whatever. And then she starts to say, like, yeah, I was morning drinking, or I don't think she said morning drinking, but she's like, it was, like, a problem, and then I had to, you know, get clean. And I thought it was so interesting, because that is a thing that's a common arc among alcoholics, is going, oh, this just makes me have fun. Oh, I just need this for my work. Oh, you know, maybe I should just cut down a little. Like, they're not even, through the arc of the show, she is going through that same arc of going, do I have a problem? Probably not. Oh, do I have a problem? Oh, this is bad. Oh, I'll cut down. And then by the end, there's this line where she goes, she's like, two drinks a day. It doesn't work. And then she goes, well, you know, it's the party. I'll have three vodkas. I'll have four vodkas. And then she screams, I'll have five vodkas if I want. And you see the anger that is underlying her entire addiction just in one moment. And it is like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
And my other love is how quick and sweet and sad the thing about her husband is, because you get the impression throughout the whole show that she's like, yeah, I really like my job, but like, I'm really lonely and no one seems to want to like hang out with me and like care about me that much. And then she meets this husband and then she gets everything. And then in like two sentences, he's out of the story again, because that's how brief it must've felt, because she finally got everything she wanted, but it was just taken from her so fast. And the storytelling reflects that feeling. And then she sings and it breaks your heart.
So sad.
I'm not going.
Yeah.
You can't leave.
Yeah. Also, when she sang Broadway Baby, I cried because I'm the Broadway Baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I also really...
Oh, that, the lead up into that song is funny, too.
I also
The Brando story?
No, and she, about Broadway Baby, when she's just like, no one should sing that in the, until they're in their 80s, so I decided to sing it 20 years early. And she's like,
oh, that was, I'm Still Here.
Huh?
That was I'm Still Here.
Oh, that was I'm Still Here. You're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Show.
Broadway.
They're both from Follies.
Yeah.
I really like how they, Zip got a feature. That's a
Zip is a good song.
It's a good song. And it's like, oh, and there was so much build up around the song. And I was like, oh, I actually, like, I've never heard this song before. I never even thought about that show. Like, that's a nice little, like, feature.
Oh, yeah. Also such good stories about having to drive to Connecticut. And then... Ethelwerman is going, Elaine, get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys get a little confused by the Brando story when he comes out in his pajamas? I couldn't tell if it's supposed to be, he's assuming they're gonna have sex, but I thought it was like, oh, is he saying I'm going to bed, get out, in like the rudest way possible? So I was very kind of confused for the second half of the story.
Yeah. Some of the stories in this are not necessarily don't necessarily have the payoff you want them to. They just happen to be crazy famous people, and so I feel like sometimes this show it just relies on the fact that she's talking about super famous people to kind of like take the edge off the fact that like this story doesn't really have like there are certain things where I was like, man, you could have made this story a little bit better. Like you could lie.
Yeah.
Like Brando's, like you know, you could we could judge this up a tad.
Yeah, because the Brando story just stops. He just breaks that glass, goes, "I'm sorry," and she kind of goes like, "Anyway." And like, there are no segues in the show other than just her like, "Anyway, back to New York," and I'm like, "Okay, well, what? There's more in." All right, we're moving on. Like,
yeah. You've also, if grandparents.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's also kind of her vibe a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
She doesn't wear pants. No time.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, if Gypsy Rose Lee is singing about how she agrees with Schopenhauer, she has a bleak mind, because I've read Schopenhauer. It is not going to get you out of bed in the morning.
Oh.
So I should read it during quarantine, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. No, but yeah.
Oh, dear. What else can we say about Elaine?
The interesting thing about this, at least from the podcast perspective, is that, like, I feel like this is the first thing we have watched that's, like, I know, I'm playing with my beard. This is a little bit more inside baseball than we've done so far.
Mm-hmm.
And how, what was that like? Like, how are you liking that aspect of it? Like, did you feel like you got all the references? Like,
I felt like I got enough references to understand. I know who Hal Prince is, and I know enough about Company because we did an episode on. Anything that we've done an episode on, I'm fine. I knew that because I'd seen little clips of the Company documentary, I knew that she had this reputation for, like, breaking out into screams. And, like, harmlessly, like, she's not trying to be mean, but she's like, oh, I scared everybody just because I'm having a moment. Like, that, I kind of knew what her sort of bit was.
Into your mouth.
Yeah. I know the name Noel Coward, but I don't know anything about his work, so that was a little over my head.
Oh.
But I knew enough that he was a big playwright name that I could get why the stories were funny. But then when she's like making him such a big deal, like, oh, then the Noel Coward died, and I'm like, well, I don't really know that much about Noel Coward, So that doesn't feel like it has the weight that it probably has to a lot of people hearing that show who like absorbed his work. A lot of the names I think are just before my time. Like if she didn't explain who some people were, but was name dropping, they're like, obviously I know who Brando is. Cause I've read a bunch of acting books and I'm a film fan. But you know, sometimes she doesn't give as much context as she would need to for a fan of my level that's just catching up.
Okay.
So I got enough of it to understand why most of it was funny, but there were a lot of names. She's like, and then this person did this. And I'm like, okay, is that something that person would do? I guess. I don't fully know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got the big ones.
This was kind of, because we just happened to watch it, and I was like, you know, let's just do this. Let's just throw them in the deep end.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Because this might not go well. He might just like completely hate this because I was like, I don't know.
As a fan of the Marvel Universe, and I know you guys are too, you can probably understand this. Avengers Endgame, don't give a fuck if you haven't seen the other movies. It just doesn't catch you up. It just goes, this is happening, and you just gotta deal with it. So I understand that, you know, it's easy to go, well, every fan's, you know, every musical is somebody's first musical and you want to make concessions, but sometimes just for the sake of time, you got to go, hey, you're all here to see me, which means you have some level of knowledge.
Yeah.
And,
a one woman show like that is not someone's first foray.
Yeah. So I met it halfway in that way. I wasn't like, you know, I didn't feel shut out by it. I feel it's one of those things that I will, as I keep growing and learning as a Broadway baby, I will go, oh, that's what that means. Okay. But that's what happens with every musical, because a lot of shows that we do, like, you know, The Prom or something, will reference older shows and then I catch up to it later. So.
Yeah. It's getting to know a genre as a whole.
Yeah, dude. This
exactly.
She references shows that I've never heard of. So, like, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I didn't know half the people she was talking about and the women.
Yeah, but I think...
Gloria Swanson was Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, I was like, I've heard that.
They do a nice... She does a nice job of fleshing out the characters that she meets to, though.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's one way she actually, like, meets us halfway. Because I'm like, girl... I'm like,
I don't know who this person is in pop culture, but I understand who she is in your life.
Yeah.
In most of those stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is also an episode of Broadway Baby where it's like, I don't, like, if you're listening to this and you haven't watched it yet, you have to watch it, because I don't think there's really no touchstone other than just watching the damn thing.
Pretty much.
I highly recommend it. It's on Broadway HD. You can do a free week trial.
Which I forgot to cancel, so we have
Broadway HD!
We have it.
I did that too. I was like, what's this bill for? Oh yeah, I didn't watch Joseph yet. So I guess that's
what. Yeah. We might as well just get our money's worth.
Well, what are we watching tonight?
Yeah. Can we do Joseph next?
Okay.
We have a lot of editing to do tonight, Kimberly.
You're right. We have a lot of things to do. Okay. Highly recommend Broadway HD right now if you're craving some theater. Andrew Lloyd Webber is live streaming stuff. Playbill is live streaming. You can watch Bandstand. There are a lot of things out there for theater people that are not someone illegally bringing their phone into the theater.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the Twitter, the Andrew Lloyd Webber and Lin-Manuel Miranda were trading covers of each other's songs, just them at the piano? And Lin does a really good cover of Everything's All Right, and then goes, all right, Webber, I'm challenging you. You do You'll Be Back. And then Webber does not nail You'll Be Back.
Oh, really?
It was a little tough.
He's old. You think that's funny?
No, it's just, sometimes like those things happen on Twitter where you're like, oh, this is going to be cool. Oh, no, it does. Sometimes stuff just falls on its face, and that's, you know, that's life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sometimes there are old people on Twitter.
So what is Harold doing in all of this?
He probably brought us there. Probably like Elaine in the 60s.
I think Harold is.
Oh,
Harold is not
took you back for sure.
Yeah,
or he's there with his wife and he just goes, "Wait, I know her from the parties."
She keeps sending me English muffins.
Oh,
I'll send you an English muffin.
love English muffins, just for the record.
I love English muffins.
Yeah. They're a really good snack.
You've made them before. They're good.
I have not made them before.
Somebody did.
I don't know. Your mom said my mom was really good with.
Oh, that's what that was. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Harold's phone's probably ringing, and all of the other old people around him also don't know how to turn off their phones.
Yeah. It's
probably. And then one person my age is just filming all of it.
Yes.
Go look at this. And then Elaine films. Yeah.
There it is. Shall you sing? So out, Louise.
Well, first I got to give my whether Harold would leave.
Oh.
I thought.
Yeah. I'm not thrilled about it. I'd let it ring.
Okay.
I'm sorry. There are moments where I would get mad if it was, but other ones I'm like, this isn't working for me. I like her a lot, and I was glad I got to spend 2 hours with her. Her story is wildly compelling. I just feel like it didn't 100% work. I'm sorry.
All right.
I feel bad about it, but that's
no, it's fine. No, it's fine. Yeah. Podcast canceled.
I got a review here, too.
A review.
Yes, this is from Art JLA, an awesome podcast. PODCAST.
Okay.
Such a great podcast. If you really love theater, whether you're a theater kid, fan kid, or theater goer, to hear about just really great shows. 5 stars.
Oh, thanks. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Poe.
I love podcasting.
Yeah. It's an up-and-coming medium, especially in quarantine.
Yeah. Get a load of it. Out. Get a load of it.
Yeah. Let's maybe cut that because I didn't mean to say quarantine and it accidentally sounded like, uh-oh, maybe that sounds homophobic. I'm just trying to change the sound.
No, we're going to keep it in the way. I want everyone to know that you hate the gays. All right. Moving on. No, I'll cut it.
All right. Thank you. You know, guys, this podcast really reminds me of the time I was with Stephen Sondheim and we were doing our yearly Christmas tradition, digging through Jerry Seinfeld's garbage for T-bone steaks. And, you know, he looked at me and said, Alex, you know, there's not an actor in this world I'd rather see play George Surratt. I can just picture you finishing the hat right now. And I said, Stephen, does anyone still finish a hat? As he was beating me near to oblivion, I began to sing. Here's to the babies who pod. All the listeners laugh. Lounging in their hoodies, live tweeting a brunch, rosé in a carafe, coveting clicks all day on Twitter, claiming their fat, and sending pics to babysitters using Snapchat. Does anyone still use Snapchat? I'll retweet that. Do, 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 do. And here's to the girls who make memes. Aren't they aghast? Scrolling through their feeds just as dull as they seem. References to Smash. Another rushing ticket play. Perhaps Evan Hansen. A matinee so you don't pay. To just be mobbed by fansons. I'll retweet that. And one for Connor. To the stars on the go, everybody tries. Look into their bios, you'll see what they know. Instagram is lies. A toast to those who snark at what's flawed, yet always are the first to applaud. Let's hear it for the babies who pod. Everyone subscribe.
That's a very good one.
Good job.
I particularly like Rosé in a Carafe.
Me too.
Thank you.
I've got on a Dior suit, a beaver fur coat and boots. I throw off the coat, I kick off the boots, and I say to my understudy with quiet, frenzied desperation, give me your shoes! You just give me your shoes. I wore a 7, she wore a 9.5. Minnie Mouse in a Dior suit. I made my entrance. I've interviewed Pablo Picasso and a countess named DiFrosso. I've interviewed the great Stravinsky. But my greatest achievement was the interview I had with a star who worked for Minsky. I met her at the Yankee Clipper, and she didn't unzip one zipper. I said, "Miss Lee, you are such an artist. Tell me why you never miss. What do you think of while you work?" And she said, "While I work, my thoughts go something like this. Zip, Walter Lippmann wasn't brilliant today. Zip, will Saroyan ever write a great play? Zip, I was reading Schopenhauer last night. Zip, and I think that Schopenhauer was right. I don't want to see Zarina. I don't want to meet Kabina. Zip, I'm an intellectual. I don't like a deep contralto or a man whose voice is alto. Zip, I'm a heterosexual. Zip, it took intellect to master my art. Zip, who the hell is R.G. Hart? Schubert Theater, New Haven, New Hartford Railroad, 1206 to New York City. Day 2, Tuesday, half hour, 7:30, check with Merman, drive to New Haven, it stops snowing, arrive Schubert Theater 10 o'clock, 10:15, zip. I consider Dolly's paintings passe. The Dior suit stayed in. Zip. Will they make the Metropolitan pay? I wore my own shoes. Zip. English people don't say clerk, they say Clark. Eight Giordano's in the third row. Zip. Anybody who says Clark is a jerk. Schubert Theater, New Haven, Merritt Parkway, New York. Day 3, Wednesday, matinee day, Imperial Theater. First show, half hour, 2 o'clock, check with Merman, Merritt Parkway, New Haven, Schubert Theater. I adore the great Confucius and the lines of Luscious Lucius. Zip. I am so eclectic. Schubert Theater, New Haven, Merritt Parkway, New York. Second show, half hour, 7:30. Check with Merman, Merritt Parkway, New Haven, Schubert Theater. I don't care for either Mickey. Mouse or Rooney makes me sicky. Zip. I'm a little hectic. Schubert Theater, Merritt Parkway, New York. Day 4 and 5, Thursday and Friday, cool by comparison. Day 6, Saturday, another matinee day. Merman, Merritt, New Haven, Schubert, Schubert, New Haven, Merritt, New York. Merman, Merritt, New Haven, Schubert, Schubert, New Haven, Merritt, New York. And you wonder why I drank. My artistic taste is classic and dear. Zip! Whoa! Who the hell? Rose! Joey, big hit in New York City, big hit. And at the opening night party, Leland Hayward offers me the Ethel Merman part in Call Me Madam, the national company to be directed by George Abbott. If I take this on, I leave a smash hit on Broadway, a supporting part with one song, to tour the country, a leading lady with nine. The tour began in Washington, D.C., and halfway through the dress rehearsal of the second act, I burst into tears. I mean, Mr. Abbott, I can't do this. I just simply can't do this. Yes, you can do it, Elaine. And we can go on with act two. Or you can't do it, Elaine, and we can all go home. We toured the country to sold-out houses for well over a year.